Matthew chapter 22. Matthew's Gospel chapter 22. Verse 41. As we're turning there, let me say what our brother has already said, that we welcome all of you, especially those of you who are visiting with us tonight. We welcome you in the name which is above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are glad that you've come, and we trust that God will bless our time together. There's one young man in the audience. I don't mean to embarrass him in any way whatsoever. Mr. David Nottage, who lives right behind the chapel. We've been nodding to each other for days. I decided I would go over and speak to him yesterday. Not to put any other preachers down who've been here, but I said to David, I said, have any other preachers who've been up here come over and invited you to the chapel? He said, no. I said, well, you can't say that hereafter. And he's here tonight. So we're glad to have you, David. Thank you for coming. For others of you, we welcome you in our Lord's precious name. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22 and verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Turn over, please, to the same book, Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Let us look to the Lord once again in a word of prayer. Our Father, we pray as we consider these two portions of Scripture and other portions of the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to each one of us. We pray in a very special way for those in our audience who are not saved. Possibly there are those here who have attended meetings like this for years. Maybe they are those who have made professions of faith in the past. Maybe they are ones concerning whom others believe are saved and they know they're not. We pray as we think about the Lord Jesus Christ tonight that they will be brought unto deep conviction and that they will flee to Christ and receive Him as Savior and as Sovereign. We pray in His precious name. Amen. I think you will agree with me that much of society is characterized by selfishness, apathy, indifference, a lack of commitment. So many people today do not want to get involved. I believe you will agree with me that we're living in an age of free spirit. We want to do exactly what we want to do, without any strings attached, without any commitment to anyone or anything. Some years ago in the city of New York, There was a young woman, a fairly young woman, by the name of Kitty Genevieve. She had worked the midnight shift. She was coming home early in the morning, and as she approached her apartment complex, there was a man there in the car waiting. And as she went into her apartment complex, he grabbed her and assaulted her. She broke from him, and she tried to get away from him as she went further into the apartment complex. And he apprehended her once again and began stabbing her. And she cried out, "Oh God, somebody help me! Please help me! He is killing me!" And that man stabbed that woman repeatedly, and he assaulted her there in the apartment complex, and as a result of those stab wounds, Kitty Genevieve was killed. It was discovered later that at least 38 people either saw what happened or at least heard something of what went on. But not one of them called the police. Not one of them. And when they were interviewed, they said, in essence, that they did not want to get involved. "We did not want to get involved." Well, they became involved in the Kitty Genevieve's case, whether they wanted to or not. They became involved. And that was a tragedy that those people witnessed what happened. And yet there was that lack of commitment, that lack of getting involved in helping that girl. Now, as I said, I want to speak to those of you tonight in this auditorium who have not made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whether you realize it or not, you are involved to some extent with this man, Jesus Christ, who is Savior and Lord. Now, you might think, as I use this illustration, out of a sense of fairness, that it's not right for me to think of these people who witnessed the Kitty Genevieve's murder and who did not want to get involved, thinking of them and comparing them with you not getting involved further with a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. But dear friend, what we are considering tonight, as we think about the two most important questions that anyone could ask or answer, I want you to realize that far more is involved, far more is at stake in your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ than those 38 who were not committed to helping Kitty Genevieve. I want us to think about these two questions. We've read them. But I believe the two most important questions that anyone could ask or answer. In thinking of this first question, we are coming face to face with the fact of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And in facing the second question, we have the question put to us, now what am I going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if you do the right thing with the Lord Jesus Christ, it will mean for you the forgiveness of sins. It will mean for you to be at peace with God. It will mean for you to have purpose in living here and now, as well as having a home in heaven when you leave this life. But if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, then He will reject you and you will be separated from God for all eternity. Now, you might think that you're going to be neutral, but you will not leave this auditorium tonight indecisive. You will make a decision one way or the other. You are involved with this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we read in Matthew chapter 22, where these Pharisees sought to entrap the Lord Jesus by putting to Him certain questions. You will see as you read chapters 22 and 23 that the Lord Jesus was stressing to His hearers that they were not giving God his due. And these Pharisees sought to entrap the Lord Jesus by putting to him these questions. In fact, you will see that in verse 15 of chapter 22. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. So they put to the Lord Jesus these questions, and he answered them. And one can visualize that after he had answered their questions, then they were about to go away when the Lord Jesus halted them and he said, in essence, now wait a minute. I want to ask you a question concerning the Messiah. Whose son is he? What think ye of Christ? Now the word Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? Well, that was easy for them to answer. They said without any hesitation, he's the son of David. All right, you say the Messiah, God's anointed, God's son, is the son of David. Yes, he's the son of David. They knew that answer. They knew that this anointed one, that this Messiah would be born to David's line, the tribe of Judah, they knew that. And so they said, he's David's son. All right, here's the second part of that question. The Lord Jesus said, why then did David in spirit call him Lord? And you'll see that back in Psalm 110. If he is David's son, then why did David in spirit call him Lord? They couldn't answer that. They couldn't answer that. And is it any wonder that we read, and no man from that day forth asked him any more questions? They could not answer that question. Now, in thinking of the question the Lord Jesus put to them and in thinking of their answer, it's interesting to note that they were saying, in essence, that the Messiah is a man who makes himself God. That is the very reason why they crucified the Lord Jesus. The truth of the matter is, he was God who made himself man. How can he be David's son and yet David's Lord? As we said a couple of meetings back, how can he be the root and the offspring of David, as we read in the book of the Revelation? How can he be the root of David? That means as the root, he existed before David. And yet he's the offspring of David. How can that be? Because he is the God-man. He is the Father of everlasting. And he existed before David. He is eternal. And yet God stepped out of eternity into time, took upon himself human form. He became something that he had not been before, without ceasing to be what he always was. And he became the offspring of David. He's David's son, and yet David in spirit called him Lord. So the Jews were confessing by their answer that he is David's son, that he's a man. And yet he's God. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was put to death, you will see in John chapter 19, they said, by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. When the truth of the matter was, he was God who made himself man. And they were doing the very thing that they accused him of doing when they put him to death. But the Lord Jesus put to them this question. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? Let me ask you, dear friends, what do you think of Christ? Who is he? Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." The Roman soldier said, "Truly this was the Son of God." The Ethiopian eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." When God dealt with Moses at that burning bush, and Moses asked, "Well, whom shall I say sent me?" And God said, "You tell them I am sent you." I am? I am who? I am what? And when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he answered that. Repeatedly he said, "I am." He said, "I and my Father are one." He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." There are those who say that Jesus was not God, the so-called Jehovah's Witnesses, and I don't mind referring to them from the platform. We have to be very careful how we speak down other people. There are two things that are definitely bad for the heart. One is running uphill, and the other is running down people. But when it comes to those who deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do not mind calling them by name and saying emphatically that they are wrong, that they are contrary to the Word of God. He is God. He is God. When we go back, you need not turn here, but when we go back to Isaiah chapter 43, we read where God said, "I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." That's Isaiah 43 and verse 10. And in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 6, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." And the Lord Jesus Christ used that same terminology when he said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last." Oh, but the Jehovah's Witnesses will insist that nowhere in the Bible do you read or do you find where the highest name of God, which is Jehovah, is attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they are wrong. Because when we go to Jeremiah chapter 23, we read concerning David's son. We read concerning this one who will be born to David's line, that he will be the branch of David. He's the root and the offspring of David. And he's the branch of David. And his name is given. What is his name? Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? We read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, God is light. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." It was C.S. Lewis who said, "A man who is merely a man and said the things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would be either a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg or a devil out of hell. Either this man is the Son of God or else a madman or something worse. We can shut him up for a fool, or spit at him and kill him as a demon, or else we can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with the patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher." My dear friend, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? It was Brother Dear Vance Havner who said that you cannot accept Jesus Christ on the basis of what you think he is. Because you have to answer that question, what think ye of Christ, on the basis of what he says himself to be. And don't you think of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ like you're doing him a favor. Brother Havner said Jesus is not standing with his hat in his hand on the sideline like some marked down bargain on the auction block waiting for you to receive him for what you think of him. Don't receive him like you're doing him a favor. You must receive him for whom he claimed to be. He's the God-man. And let me say to those of us who name the name of Christ, let's don't serve him like we're doing him a favor either. Let's don't give him some of our time. Let's don't give him some of our money. Let's don't give him some of our effort like we're doing him a favor. Don't do something for Christ. Do everything for him. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ." Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1, all things were made by him. And what else? And for him. We are made for him. And we are to give him our all. For to me to live is Christ. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you say within your heart, I am fully persuaded that he is Almighty God in flesh. He is Lord of all, and I submit to his authority, and I dedicate myself unreservedly to him to live for his glory. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? Now that second question in Matthew chapter 27. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ, the Messiah? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. What shall I do with the Lord Jesus Christ? All right, you have been given the first question, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Now the second question, what are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? You might say, I'm not going to do anything with him. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. You will not leave this auditorium tonight without doing something with the Lord Jesus Christ. Either you will walk out of this auditorium with that determination to live for him, or you will walk out of this auditorium indifferent to him, determined to live your own way and not be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll make a decision one way or the other. You cannot leave this auditorium without doing so. Pilate was in a difficult situation. He had the Lord Jesus on his hands. He didn't know what to do with him. What am I going to do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? He didn't want to crucify him because he knew that he was an innocent man. And what a travesty of justice in this trial and execution. Pilate didn't want to crucify Jesus. He knew he was innocent. And he knew that if he released the Lord Jesus without doing anything, that there would be an outcry from the people. There would be this tumult. And he was afraid that that would result in a complaint being filed to Caesar that would result in an investigation of his government. He didn't want that. But he had the Lord Jesus Christ on his hands. So he tried to get the Lord Jesus off of his hands without doing anything with him. He says, you take him and judge him according to your law. They said, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die. And the Jewish mode of execution was stoning to death. But they said, we cannot put him to death. I must confess I don't quite understand that, because later they stoned Stephen to death. They carried that execution out. So Pilate tried to simply get rid of the Lord Jesus without doing anything with him, but he couldn't. And so when he said, you judge him according to your law, he found that the Lord Jesus was still on his hands. Then you will see from Luke chapter 23, when he heard that he was a Galilean, then he sent Jesus to Herod. That is, he had the soldiers to take him to Herod. And I visualize that Pilate thought within himself as Jesus was led away, I have him off my hands. I don't have to make any decision one way or the other. We'll let Herod make the decision. But soon, here they were bringing Jesus back. Pilate still had the Lord Jesus on his hands. What would he do? What is he going to do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Well, it was Passover time, and it was at that time of year that someone was released. Who would be released? Pilate thought, now here's a way of me getting this man off of my hands. And I'm inclined to think that Pilate chose the worst of the criminals there. Barabbas. To give the people a choice, will it be Barabbas or will it be Jesus? You know, it's interesting when you think of that choice, isn't it? Why did they crucify Jesus? They said because he said he's the Son of God. That's the reason they crucified him. He said he's the Son of God. He's the man who made himself God. And yet here is Barabbas. Here is Barabbas on one side of Pilate. Here is Jesus on the other. What is his name? His name is Barabbas. What does that name mean? What does Abba mean? That means father, doesn't it? What does bar mean? Have you ever heard of a Jewish boy having his bar mitzvah? Bar means son. When a Jewish boy has his bar mitzvah, a Jewish girl would have her bat mitzvah, but when a Jewish boy would have his bar mitzvah, it means that he is being placed into society as a son, no longer a child. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And when a Jewish boy becomes 13, he has his bar mitzvah. He is placed into society as a son. You might say, well, I still don't understand the implications of that. Well, let me just use this illustration. If you were to see a Jewish business place, you wouldn't expect to see Rabinowitz and Child, would you? Rabinowitz and Child. You would say, no, something is wrong there. The word child, that denotes immaturity, irresponsibility. Let's change that to son, Rabinowitz and son. The son now denotes that he's able to carry on responsibility. He's able to handle situations. He's no longer a child. He's presented to society as a young man, as it were. Now he's a son, not just a child. So here is Barabbas. His name means son of the Father. Here is Jesus, who said he was the Son of the Father. Which one do you want? Take your choice. Pilate thought, surely they're going to choose the Lord Jesus to be released, not Barabbas. Quite possibly, he was an insurrectionist. There have been many who have presented themselves as messiahs. And quite possibly, Barabbas was one of them who sought to overthrow the Roman government. Quite possibly he was an insurrectionist who presented himself as a Messiah. Which one do you want? They said, give us Barabbas. Give us this son of the Father.
Well, what shall I do then with Jesus, who's called the Christ? Crucify him!
Pilate still has Jesus on his hands. How is he going to get Jesus off of his hands? His last attempt, he thought, all right, if we have this man beaten, let them see some bone and blood, then that will satisfy them. I said a travesty of justice. He knew he was an innocent man and yet had him scourged. And so after scourging the Lord Jesus, they were still crying for his death. Crucify him! Pilate still had the Lord Jesus on his hands. What did he do? He washed his hands. He washed his hands. As if that were going to get the Lord Jesus off of his hands. Was Pilate thinking of the Jewish law that when elders in a certain area were to find a dead body, that they would wash their hands, indicating that they knew nothing about the death of this person, they are innocent, their hands are clean, and they would wash their hands according to Jewish law? Was Pilate aware of that when he washed his hands? I don't know. But at any rate, he did it to show, as far as he was concerned, Jesus was all of his hands. And just because he washed his hands, this man made a very unenviable record in history. Little did that man realize that because of his attitude and his action toward the Lord Jesus Christ, that millions down through the years would be talking about him. That millions of people, using many different languages, would be talking about Pontius Pilate having treated the Lord Jesus this way. That the Lord Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. No, he still had him on his hands. And listen, dear friends, we have put two questions to you. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? And now, what are you going to do with the Lord Jesus? You're going to do something with him when you leave this auditorium. And you might think, no, I'm not going to do anything with him. I'm going to continue avoiding him. Listen, my dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is as indispensable to yesterday as he is unavoidable today, as he will be inescapable tomorrow. You cannot get away from him. How many times have you heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? And here you sit tonight hearing about him once again. And the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you asking, what are you going to do with Jesus who is called the Christ? He offers you the forgiveness of sins. He offers you peace with God. He offers you salvation full and free. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? You have him on your hands. You can wash your hands all you want to, as Pilate did, but you still have the Lord Jesus Christ on your hands. You must either confess him or deny him. You will either leave this auditorium tonight being fully convinced that he is Lord of all, and that you confess him as such, and in every way submit yourself to him, or you will deny him. Oh, you might say, no, no, I'm not going to deny him. I'm not going to reject him. But I'm not going to make that commitment to him. Well, what would you call it? You think of a girl who answers the man who proposes to her. And she says to him, well, listen now, I have always admired you. You have many commendable traits and on she would go, but no, I cannot accept your proposal of marriage. I'm not going to become your wife. What is she doing but rejecting him? You must either confess the Lord Jesus Christ or deny him. You must either let the Lord Jesus Christ come into your heart and life, or you must shut him out of your heart and life. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. You must either take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ or you must take your stand against him. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? And what are you going to do with Jesus who's called the Christ? I say humbly, I'm so glad he's my Lord and Savior. I confess that I don't live for him as I should, but I'm so glad he's my Lord and Savior. I'm so glad that I can walk in the consciousness of his presence. I'm so glad that I am able to say on the authority of the Word of God, not for who I am or for what I do, but because of who he is and for what he's done, I can say I'm at peace with God. I can put my head on the pillow at night knowing that I'm right with God. And it's wonderful to go through this life enjoying fellowship with himself and knowing that you're being used by him and for him to whatever extent. You will do something with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You'll do something with him. I wonder if there is a person in this auditorium, and maybe there's more than one, who will be willing to take a stand for Christ tonight. Maybe you would say, yes, I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I received him back whenever it was, but I haven't lived for him. I dedicate myself afresh tonight to him. I want my life to count for Christ. Or maybe you have never received him and you will take a stand tonight and say, yes, I will receive him as my Lord and Savior. I receive him right now. Friend, coming forward won't save you. But I'm going to have us to stand and sing 239. And as we sing, if you would like to take a public stand for Christ tonight and let those who are gathered here know that you want to make this personal, public commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you come right now as we sing? Take a front seat. We'll have the others go quickly and quietly out, and we'll talk further. Let's stand as we sing 239. I trust we know this song. If not, we'll learn it. 239. Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? 239. Let's stand and sing the first and last stanzas. You come right now as we sing.
Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in?
Now, Father, we do thank Thee for our time here tonight in the consideration of this altogether lovely one, Thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those in this auditorium who are not saved, young and older. Oh, Father, I pray that they will receive Christ tonight. And for those of us who name the name of Christ, Father, I pray that we will not go through our days, spend our time and our efforts and our money like we're doing this altogether lovely one a favor. Oh, Father, may it be impressed upon us afresh that He is worthy of all, for He is Lord of all. We pray in His precious name. Amen.